Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I was just it just reminded me of how well written and how the chemistry of the cast was so there. It was so that was one of the things that kept us going so strong for 5 years, I think.
My name is Anna Silk. For 6 seasons, I played Beau on the hit TV series Lost Girl. I am so happy you are here for the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast to take a trip down memory lane with me, the amazing cast, and some very special guests. I'm so glad to finally be able to say the family is back together again. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast. Oh, my co-host today. Boy, are we lucky. Let me tell you. My co-host today lights up the screen every time she is on it. With a ruthless delivery, the Morrigan brought a wow factor and a sex appeal like no one else to our show. She is someone that I was frankly in awe of watching and nailed every single take. Please welcome the lovely Emmanuelle Vauger.
Yay! Hello!
Hi!
Mwah, mwah, mwah. Kisses, kisses. It's so good to see you.
Good to see you too. We don't get to do this enough.
I know. And this whole rewatch podcast has been... It just feels like this get together for me. I mean, I'm getting to see everybody, so I feel very, very spoiled.
No, it was very doing it this. It was actually cool watching. I watched the episode last night, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, wow!" Like,
I know.
And then we all look. I mean, you look the same, but I'm like, "Oh my god, look at our
stop.
Like the skin. It's so perfect."
I know. We all have there's an extra bit of chub on all of us, right? All of our cheeks. Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's so strange to look back. Mm-hmm. It is so strange. So we are going to talk about season 1, episode 11 called Fatal Justice. It was written by Peter Mohan and directed by Rob Lieberman. And so, my first question for you, Emmanuelle, is how did you feel watching it and what were your first sort of impressions besides our gorgeous skin?
Our gorgeous skin and how young everyone looked. I was just, it just reminded me of how well written and how, like, and the, the chemistry of the cast was so there. It was so, I mean, that was one of the things that that kept us going so strong for 5 years, I think. And the big appeal of the show was like, everybody just clicked, like it was magical. It was really cool because I hadn't watched an episode in God knows how long. So it was really cool to see that and just see it, like the chemistry just alive on screen again.
I know. I mean, I've really been taking a trip down memory lane over the last few weeks. And I had forgotten, I think, how special our show was, especially, I mean, not so much every season was special, but there was something so magical about the first season. We were all kind of finding our feet and, but the chemistry, you're right. The chemistry was just there from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one thing that I have to talk about with you, because you're in this episode, of course, but you were also in our first episode of the season. And it's hard to imagine that you were in those two episodes only for the first season, right? Because it feels like you were in more because your presence was there. The leader of the dark is kind of a big deal that we talk about mm-hmm. throughout the season. So, but your first episode that you were in, watching those scenes were, I mean, I remember meeting you on that first day of filming at U of T. And you walked in looking like Cruella De Vil. I mean, it was with a cigarette and all that stuff. And I was just kind of reflecting back on that one too, because that kind of really set up your character. And I love the scene between you and I, mm-hmm. where we sit down and you, I don't know if you remember this from the first episode, where you basically, you break it down for Bo. Like there's a dark and a light side and you got to pick, da 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 da. Right. And there was so much power in what you were doing. You were so good. I mean, I had been cast first, I think. and then I was in LA at the time and I was reading with many actresses to play the Morrigan. Mm-hmm. And I remember doing that scene over and over and over and over. And it was such a great part. And then I remember I hadn't read with you. I hadn't met you until the first day of filming, but boy, were we lucky to have you come on and be this amazing character. It was amazing. Well, you were incredible.
Thank you. No, it was I didn't know walking into it what it was going to, you know, what you never know what it's going to be. Like you could, you know, sometimes something looks great on paper and you go and do it and you're like, wow, that was a giant pile of poop. Like, you know what I mean? Like the show from top to bottom. Like you brought so much energy and charisma and presence to your role and talent. And it was just, you know, you made it easy to like, it was just, it worked, like everything just clicked. And it's, you know, it was one of those things that, it made it that much easier to step into those shoes for sure.
Yeah. No, thank you. And you always made it you make acting look easy, which is probably one of the biggest compliments actors can get, right? Because it's not easy. Easy to walk, you know. And anyway, so I just wanted to acknowledge your presence in episode one, because today we're going to talk about episode 11, which, you know, I'll tell you some of my feelings watching it and my first impressions. Well, first of all, I had forgotten that there's entire episodes where I'm super into Dyson the whole time. I mean, I remember, of course, there's a love triangle and of course that happens, but, you know, Bo is like, and Dyson were like pretty much dating in this episode, you know, which was kind of funny to see that level of the relationship, and Bo and Lauren are kind of on the outs at this point still. So that was kind of interesting to see. And I love in this episode how Bo is finally being trusted with Faye business, mm-hmm. you know, how she can, you know, she's being asked to go into dark Faye territory because she's neutral. And there's a few more of those things being presented. And I love, and this shows, it shows the strength of your character as well as Clay Bennett, who played the leader of the Light Fae. Because Dyson declared sanctuary, even you guys can't touch him. Right. You know, it just kind of showed the weight of the rules of the Fae world, that even, you know, you're waiting for your opportunity, but even you can't touch him mm-hmm. at that point, which I thought was really cool to see, you know, that the reverence around the rules, even by you.
Right. You know? I had to kind of respect. Yeah. I had to play by the rules a little bit there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But and I just, when you brought up Clay Bennett, I watching it, I was like, that voice.
Oh my God.
I'm like, that voice is like, I don't know how he must do a ton of like voice work or radio stuff, because I'm like, that's like such a unique, you know.
I know. It's the kind of voice you want to like crawl inside of.
Yeah.
No. And like curl up. You know?
No, it's. Well, he's like, it should be a sleep story. Like he belongs on Calm doing, and I need to fall asleep to his voice. That sounds crazy,
I know,
but it is true.
I know. I know. I think maybe we should contact him and make this happen. So I have obviously have more questions for you. Oh, one other thing I loved seeing, and this is kind of pivotal to the storyline, is Chris's tattoo. You know, because that tattoo played into the storyline of this episode. But also, I remember, just a little thing for the fans to know, that Chris and I, when we auditioned, he was shirtless at some point in our audition, of course, as one is.
Always shirtless.
Right? Always shirtless. And of course, he had that tattoo. That's his tattoo.
Oh, that is
that's
his
not,
tattoo.
That wasn't. Yes. Yes.
Oh.
That's his. And I remember, and it's beautiful. And I remember him saying, you know, maybe this is some kind of fey language or something. And right away, you could already see producers going, yeah, you know, like they were kind of, he planted that seed, which I thought was kind of funny and a little something that for the fans to know. Okay. My next question, what is your best memory of filming this episode? I mean, you kind of come in and out, and of course, kick butt in each scene, but what are some of your best memories filming?
The dress. I still have that dress.
You do?
I do. I mean, the scenes were always fun. Like it was always like, she was always so well written and
so
there was
well-written.
So much there to play with. And it was almost like, okay, don't go too crazy. Cause it's like then, you know, it, don't go down campy, you know, the campy road with it. Because it's easily tips over into that like larger
totally.
Than life, like mustache twirling villain, which, you know, we dip our toe into that in some episodes. I feel like I kind of did that, but, and it was fun because we had the liberty to kind of go there. But I have to, I mean, like, I like that scene in the bar just because I just remember feeling, I don't know. I just remember having like, it was fun. I don't know what it was about that. It was just like fun, just in like this kind of flippant. And I don't know. It was, I remember having a lot of fun at that scene. And yeah, just the wardrobe played such a huge role in how I felt in every scene, because I was always dressed top to bottom. They managed to find me the most like fabulous outfits that were so on point for the Morrigan. And I think that's, you know, all of it, the hair, the makeup, the wardrobe, all of that plays into how, you know, your presence on screen and the energy that goes into that character and how, because if you're, you know, I don't think that I would have nearly the same, pizzazz going into the scene wearing, you know, what I'm wearing now. Like I'd be like, yeah, I'd be fine, but it doesn't have the same impact. And I wouldn't feel the same way.
You wouldn't feel the same way. Exactly. I don't think I knew until I did this show the importance of hair, makeup, wardrobe, and storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more than just looking good. It really informs how you walk. I mean, when you walk in and you tell a story before you even open your mouth, you can kind of show up for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you did. I forget what your first line is in the bar. It's something like being a VIP. Do you think of me as a VIP? I do.
Right.
It's something like that. I love it.
Words to live by.
Yeah.
Lessons
shouldn't
from
we
the
all?
Morgan.
Yeah, exactly. Lessons. Oh my God. That's it. We need a book. There needs to be a coffee table book. Lessons from the Morgan. Some of the stuff that I remembered about that episode that was really fun is that most of that episode was filmed on location. So there's something exciting about filming on location because, you know, we shot in that bar, that nightclub,
mm-hmm.
tons of extras, tons. There's this kind of sense of adventure and extra pressure, honestly, because there's people doing like the girl doing the flips and the twirly thing. And there's a lot of things, a lot of moving parts. But I do remember being excited about that. Oh yeah. Think of me as a VIP. I do. I'd written down the line. So cute. I loved for Hale in that episode. I love this was the first time that you saw Bo and Hale, like Hale kind of tells her, you're good. You're good for Dyson, mm-hmm. you know? So I really liked, that. And I had forgotten that until I watched the episode. I have one more question. What was the most difficult or challenging part of filming the episode? Do you have any memories watching it from that angle?
Also the wardrobe.
Of course. Right.
Like, I mean, yeah, everything was very tight.
Everything was very tight.
So yeah. There wasn't a lot of, like after lunch was a particularly difficult time in my life. Post lunch, I was like, Manuel, make good choices. You make good choices here because you are going to regret your choices if you don't.
Yes.
Because right now you're wearing sweatpants and you won't be in about half an hour.
Sweatpants and Uggs. Yeah. You know what? And it's hard sometimes to make good choices on set because, as you know, you're exhausted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then right? what do you go to first when you're exhausted? Sugar, caffeine, like, and you're just like,
totally.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bo's wardrobe evolved over the seasons, but I had to be able to move a lot, like, and fight a lot. Mm-hmm. So things had to be revealing in the right ways and movable in the right ways too. But yeah, the Morrigan's outfits were streamlined, tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very tight. But for Bo, I mean, like, a lot of it too, like, I was watching the episode and I'm like, whoa, Bo boobs, boobs everywhere.
Boobs.
Like, I mean, it looked everywhere. Fantastic, but Emmanuel. I was like, talking about having to be able to move and be able to fight.
And I think, I mean, that's that the Bo silhouette actually became a challenging thing for some of the wardrobe people to deal with. But boobs, cinched in waist by the end, and like looseness around the belly, because first of all, that's just how I prefer it. I don't want to worry as much. Because I was there for, you know, every day, yeah. all day, I had to have room for bloatedness or anything that actually happens to a female body and comfort. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I had to be able to move. So cinching it in at the waist and pushing up the girls became the silhouette. And yeah, I look back at that. I mean, I have my Beau bra somewhere tucked in a drawer somewhere. And it was, I wonder if I should dig that thing out. I mean, it is.
I think you should.
It's its own character. It's its own character. I would say for me filming that episode, there's the part that's literally painful for me to watch because it was so challenging for me. Is anytime I have to dance, I want to die.
This the Vex?
Thing? Oh my God.
Yes. I was like, go, Anna.
I will tell you, that's hard to do.
That's so
hard. Well, first of all, it's hard to dance sexy, be mad, and also then try to like physically fight him. I was so confused.
Yeah.
I was so confused. But I get so embarrassed if I have to dance. And I have to tell you that Miss Solo, Ksenia Solo, who was on set with me that day, gave me a couple of moves. Mm-hmm. Yes, Ms. Dancer, exactly. Yeah. And she gave me a couple of moves to like start. And that helped me a lot.
It makes a difference when somebody who is a dancer can show you a few things so that you don't feel like a total idiot. Like that's because when I had to do that, even though it was like silly dancing, like way down the line in another episode, I asked for a choreographer because I'm like, this needs to be specific. It needs to have intent behind not to mind fuck it, but like just to have a purpose behind the moves and also a consistency to it. So that when you go to do it, it's like so that you can feel comfortable and let that go and go, okay, now I can worry about the acting part of it and the performance part of it, as opposed to the physical logistics of it. if that makes sense.
Well, it brings a self-consciousness that doesn't need to be there otherwise. Well,
and
right.
And then you're just a confident character that like, that's the last thing that you need is to have to struggle with that.
Yes, exactly. And if it says, if it just says like, just dance sexy, like just, well, no, like to me, I mean, like how I did in college drunk at a bar. No, actually it was not that sexy.
Yeah. Like me drunk know, at a bar like, and college, actually like,
yeah,
like it's not
if camera phones had been around at that time, we would have evidence that I did not dance sexy at that time. I know there was actually in much later seasons, there was a scene where Bo does like this sexy car wash, which was a very popular, I think that was actually season four. So we'll get there at some point, but I never had a choreographer for it. And suddenly it was like, I was on set and they're like, wash the car and be sexy. I'm like, oh my God. You know, I should have had the forethought to say like, hey, let's bring someone in to help me, because like you said, it just kind of gets you there.
Yeah.
And then you can play a little bit.
Yeah. Even if it's not, but yeah,
I wanted
to,
yes, exactly. Yeah. I wanted to die pretty much that day of filming. I was very, very embarrassed.
I feel your pain.
But of course, you know, Paul was there who plays Vex, who was incredible. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just remember being kind of horrified. Anyway, so I wanted to ask, what do you think worked and what didn't work in this episode?
I mean, that's a tough question, because it's like, I didn't feel, nothing stood out to me, and I wasn't looking for it either. I wasn't looking to like pull it apart necessarily. You know, usually I'll look at my own performance and pull that apart, but I'd be like, oh, that didn't, I didn't like that. I didn't like that. I actually was okay with what I did in that episode. Yeah. I was like, oh, forgot about those scenes. Yeah, cool. I was like, that was, I'm happy with that, but it's
good.
You know,
you should be,
but like the whole, like this, I think the episode as a whole, was well done. I didn't see anything, like nothing popped out at me as like, oh, that doesn't quite work, or,
yeah,
or that relationship doesn't quite work.
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know, as the episodes went on in the seasons, I just felt like they just got more and more seamless, like more and more, just everything was smoother and smoother and smoother. Maybe if I rewatched the pilot episode, I'd have things to say about it. But yeah, I didn't really, nothing jumped out at me.
Yeah, it's actually kind of a hard question to answer this whole season, which is nice, you know, that to think of things that don't work. But for me, when I think of something not working, it's usually because I'll remember how I was feeling while filming rather than what I'm actually seeing on the screen.
Right.
You know, one thing I remember about this episode that was challenging was, I don't know why I remember this, but we were under time crunch the whole time on this episode.
Yes.
And that can happen on locations in particular, because you've got so many moving parts. But even in studio, I remember on that episode, we were constantly under time crunch. And the scene where you're torturing Dyson, which I love that scene. And I love that you say like that you're bored. I mean, that's so great. do you remember when we got to filming that last part, how we ran out of time? And do you remember we all had to kind of stand in a line and say these very long
Didn't we all start laughing so much, and they were getting mad?
Because we were dying. The crew was mad. So angry. I know. I was holding that poker to your face, which was a rubber poker, by the way, everybody behind the scenes. Obviously, it was not a metal. First of all, I couldn't hold it up that long if it was metal. But yeah, it was rubber. And we had to just spit out a lot. There was a lot of talking.
Yeah. Unnecessary
amount of talking. So I felt that, you know, that, I mean, look, it worked in the end and it was all great. One thing I thought that felt like when Vex goes to kill that guy, mm-hmm. why didn't we get to see what he did to him?
No.
It just kind of stopped.
I think because I
wanted him to throw him. I think we ran out of time.
Yeah, I think they had plans.
That's the one thing that didn't work, right? So, I mean, look, this is minor, but like it stood out to me because I was like, I want to see Vex throw him in the fire pit. I mean, like that's what he should be doing.
Well, and also probably a money thing too. They throw him in the fire pit. That's more VFX. That's more, you know, there's like all the budget stuff that goes with that. And as we know that the budgets were not like the pockets were not so deep on this show.
Yes. So yes. It was, you know, creativity was high. Pockets were not deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something that is interesting for fans to hear too, is that everything is considered in every episode when it comes to, you know, you have to write to the budget of the show. So it's one thing to think of great ideas, but then can you afford them? Can you do them in a way that, you have time to do? And there's often big setups for anything physical. There's huge setups, even if it's one move, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, and also, one thing that I did notice now, you know, as far as what works and didn't work, I mean, it's not something that doesn't work, but it speaks to sort of the success of the show as it went on. And they were smart to do it this way because they use special effects very sparingly or at least in mm-hmm. this episode, like with the chi and the thing, because they didn't have the money to do it particularly well. So they used it in little pieces here, even like the fire poker, you know, with the CGI red tip. I'm like, oh, that looks pretty bad, but that doesn't look real. But you're willing to overlook it because it's not so glaring throughout the entire episode that it doesn't become a distraction.
And it should never be a distraction. Yeah. The second it's a distraction, then the audience isn't really following the story anymore, you know?
It pulls you out.
To me, it looked, I could wrap my head around the fact that it looked more like a comic book.
Yes.
You know? And to me, that's when the show worked really well, is when we really, really presented that comic book feel mm-hmm. rather than trying to be more than that. I mean, I remember like, you know, any fight scenes I did early on that were more elaborate and things like that and had Bo doing a lot of crazy things, those had to be scaled down after a while because we just didn't have the budget to have the time to do it well. So she became a little more of a street fighter and a little more of like, I'll grab what's on this table and whack someone with it rather than let's have someone fly in on a wire and, you know.
Right. To like spend an entire day shooting one fight sequence. Like it's not a Marvel movie.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I do actually, you're right. We were laughing and the crew was mad.
Yeah. Because it was like, I think it was the very end of the day. And we were all so exhausted and we all had the giggles. And it was like, we couldn't look at each other. It was one of those, right? We'd be like, if one of us looked at the other one and then we were like, and then it was like, okay, go again. Guys, just keep it together. And we're like, oh, I know. God, this is so hard. Why is this so hard?
It's impossible. It's impossible. And I'm the worst for the giggles. Like and especially when you're that tired. Oh. And I remember getting the giggles and I would say in my head, like, you have to stop. Like, and I would try to say like, okay, the crew is going to hate you. They're going to hate you. And then I'd start laughing again. I mean, I just couldn't stop.
They hate me.
I don't care.
I don't care anymore.
Exactly.
I'm so tired.
Exactly.
I had the hardest time looking in the eye and not giggling was always Chris. Like if he started with that, I'd be like, oh damn it. And then also Zoe.
Zoe was the worst for me because she had the ability to make this like funny joke and then drop right into the scene.
Yeah.
And I couldn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't. So because I'd be like still going with the joke and like not ready, you know.
She was the worst.
She's saboteur. I'll have to do a whole episode of how she sabotaged me over the years. I'm totally kidding. She was the best. No, but she was the hardest one to stop laughing with.
Yeah.
By far, mm-hmm. by far. Some other stuff that I thought worked really well in this episode, and I've said it several times over this podcast, we had such good guest stars on the show.
Yeah.
And the writing for them was so great. Like, I love the guy in the bar that comes in to take Dyson's memories.
Oh yeah. Yes.
And he had one scene, this guy. I don't even know that actor's name. I should have looked it up because he was incredible. He comes in, he has one scene. I love that he's a drunk because, and that's where the writing got so good, because he was a drunk to deal with the fact that his fey power was very taxing on him.
Right.
You know, and that was so clever. It gave him the humanness that the fey world needed, you know? And so he was amazing. And then the actor that played the art dealer, oh my God. Because you know what it's like, Emmanuel. I go to his house and seduce him and like get mad at him. So I met him like 3 minutes before we shot that scene. You know, hello, sir. And then suddenly I'm straddling him and we're doing the scene. And he's got to perform like under the spell. And in that first season, guest stars would always say, like, people that I was kind of seducing with my power would say, what does the power feel like? What am I supposed to be doing? You know, right. And as they're like, roll sound, you know, and I'm going, it's up to you. But just so you know, it's a sexual power. It's a sexual power. And you just have to act like I'm really sexy. Okay, go. And he did it. You know, it was just, I remember being really, I was kind of shy doing that scene, but he was great. And the guest stars just went for it. We were so lucky.
Yeah. We had some really that guy stood out to me. The one in the bar, I kept thinking actually to myself, I'm like, who is that? Cause he's good.
Yeah, who is that?
He's really good. And then the really art good. Dealer, I also thought I felt for you. Cause I'm like, those scenes are so hard. Cause it is like,
they're so hard.
Dominating kind of sexual like thing. It's a lot easier if somebody else has to be that person and you just get to follow along and kind of like be there and react to them. But if you have to take the reins and be that, because like, I'm not necessarily that person in my personal life, you know, it's something like, hey, like,
right.
You know, so to, it's fun to do on screen, but it's also very awkward when you're not like in, you know, especially with people you don't know.
Oh yeah.
Be different if it was,
and I think,
someone,
I mean,
one of the main cast members, but you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. By the end with the people that, you know, you like Chris and Zoe and I, by the end, we're like, let's do this, you know, like whatever it was going to be.
Another day, another orgy.
Oh my God. Honestly, I feel like Lost Girl was like, you know how they say like in marriage, like the first year of marriage, if you put a jelly bean in the jar, every time you have sex, you'll have this giant jar full of jelly beans. And then in subsequent years, if you take one out every time, you'll never empty the jar. Oh God, that's so sad.
So sad.
But that's what it was like being Bo. I feel like the first season I filled up a jar of jelly beans with all the people I made out with. And then by the end, it was like just kind of here and there, you know?
Right.
But yeah, so that art dealer guy, I felt for him because he was probably waiting in his trailer all day. Like waiting. They're like, okay, we need you to get here. And then suddenly I'm on top of him and then he goes home. But he was great. He was great.
And he's like, I feel so used. He's at home. Drinking alone. not sure what happened.
Maybe there's like a Lost Girl support group podcast.
For all those guest stars.
For all those used and abused guest stars. I know. The other thing that I noticed in this episode, and it's just because I'm sensitive to, there was so much ADR in this episode. I don't know why. I think it's because we were on location.
See, I didn't experience that so much just because I didn't have as much in the episode
right.
and my locations right. were not like the bar and like the nightclub
yes.
and all that stuff.
Yes. And ADR for people listening, is when I think I've mentioned it before, but it's actors do ADR all the time because we film and they try to get clean sound on the day. We all wear microphones or they're putting a mic over our head. But sometimes you don't get clean sound. So you have to go back in and literally match your mouth to the lines that are being said. And there was so much of it in that episode. Which I thought was, I don't know that it, to me, it's just, I just noticed it just noted as a footnote. And I don't know why there was so much. Let's see here. Oh, another thing I loved is that it had such an investigative feel, this episode. Like it had like good old fashioned detective work kind of stuff,
it
you know, like
did.
Police work.
Yeah, I noticed that because I didn't feel like later, like in later episodes from what I remember, it wasn't like that. It was more like just, you know, dark and light and fighting and other stuff. Like, it wasn't so much detective work and like the police station and that, you know, like that. It felt very sort of procedural that
I
way.
I love the police station.
Yeah.
I always wish there was more in the, like, I loved being in the police station all the time.
It felt very old
whenever
school.
I was there.
Right. It like did. It felt like very Murder, She Wrote, like a little bit, like not Murder, She Wrote, but you know, like that era of like,
really
Angela Lansbury
cleaned that up. Yeah. I know. Oh, Angela Lansbury. Do you have any behind the scenes memories or secrets about filming this episode? We may have touched on this already, but, does anything come to mind for you?
No, I remember we had ET Canada was there for that episode because I remember doing an interview with them.
Okay.
You know, as far, I don't, because I was always in and out pretty quick on the episodes. Like, they'd fly me in, I would be, they'd have to shoot me out within 3 days, and then I'd be on a plane and back in LA. So I was never there, which was awesome in some ways. But then in other ways, I never really had a chance to like hang out that much or like be, you know, a part of the stuff that you guys did outside of, you know, like when you guys had watch parties or like little things that would happen that I wouldn't necessarily like be like, oh, are you going to be here? And like, I wouldn't be there, like, or I'd be leaving before it, or it'd be an episode where I wasn't in it. So,
you know, and it's funny because I have the flip of that where I was there so much that sometimes the cast would be leaving to go and have a drink, but they're like, Anna, we need you to stay to film the Beau Walks Down the Hall episode. And I'm like, or scene, you know, and I'm like, bye everybody.
Yeah.
Bye. Have fun. You know,
enjoy so your life.
exactly. but yeah, no, it's funny because it's, you know, you were a huge part of the show for every season. And I feel like collectively over time, we got to know each other better. And you spent more and more time there in my memory of it. But obviously you were coming in and out. So
I think we ended up when we all started doing the Comic-Con circuit is when I think we all sort of like, or for me, because that's where I got to see you guys in a more sort of intense group setting, like where we were all together and we were hanging out all the time, all day long. All night long. Like, it was just, and so I think that was like an accelerated, you know, friendship maker for my side, like, you know, or relationship accelerator for me, and catching up on the years that I didn't really get to do that with you guys. But as far as the specific memories from this episode, God, I can't remember what I did yesterday. I mean, I don't know. Like 10 years ago, however many, 13 years ago now. God.
It's 13 years. Yeah. 12 or 13. Oh, I can't remember. I think it might be 12.
Yeah.
12 years from that first season. And we shot the pilot a year before that. Like, there's so much time has passed. It's kind of crazy to look back. I mean, that's why doing this is so special, because enough time has passed that looking back feels so nostalgic and so, like I'm watching a whole episode that I don't remember at all. You know, I don't remember. I remember when I see it, I remember like, oh yeah, the nightclub. I remember this, you know, one thing I remember about that episode, there was two episodes that season where I injured my leg, and it was because I was doing a fight in a different episode and I wanted to do this one kick. I would never do this in subsequent seasons, Emmanuel, like ever. I'd be like, my double's doing it. That's
it. You learn pretty quickly after that.
Oh, I learned so quickly because I wanted to do this kick and I practiced it so much that I burned out my leg muscle so much that my leg kept buckling.
Oh.
So in that episode, that was the second episode with the leg injury. So the leg was getting better. But in the nightclub, anytime I was beside Chris, he had his hand out and I was holding it for support, like a cane.
Oh, wow.
Whenever we walked. And there's one thing I remembered watching was there's a scene where Beau is walking down a really long hallway on a phone. And my husband's one of his best friends from college was in town, to see Seth, my husband, and his wife's on her TV show. And that's what I was filming. And they gave him like a headset to be behind the monitor. And I was walking down the hall doing this scene on the phone and I kept falling because my leg. And he was like, whoa, is this part of the, and I'm like, no, it's not. I'm just trying. Anyway, my leg kept buckling. So that's a little behind the scenes things for fans watching, along with the rewatch, that There was only one take where I got down that hallway.
Wow.
And that was it. You saw it on camera. But then I learned my lesson with stunts. I was like, no, no, not doing that again.
I know. Whenever I talk to actors, they're like, yeah, I'm super excited about doing it. And like, you know, I'm going to, and I'm like, just don't be stupid. Let the pros do what they're there to do. And then they sell it and make it look good for, or like they make it look really awesome and do all the hard stuff. And then you sell it. Like you know, you can still do stuff, but like, don't go be stupid. You need to have the longevity, you know, because it happens totally. All the time. Like I'm guilty of that. Like I was like, yeah. And then you end up doing something to yourself and you're like, that was dumb.
You do. Also, and I feel like you actually knew this stuff early on. I remember us having some conversations in like season one and two, and you had this sense of, you just had a really good understanding of filmmaking. I think you had you had more experience than I did at that point. And you understood the day-to-day work of it better than I did. I mean, I learned it pretty quick. Yeah. The learning curve was fast for me, but I just learned that, you know, because if people ever ask me, how did you have all the energy to do that? I mean, after season one, I burned myself out. I didn't have the energy to do that. I like burned myself out so badly that I had to like recover, you know? Yeah. And then what I learned in other seasons was like, actually the key to that energy is knowing when to rest, you know, and taking those opportunities to rest all the time.
Well, and setting boundaries too, because as you know, in this business, they will push you and push you and push you and push you. And if you don't say no, if you don't say, no, I need this, or I need, like, you have to use your voice, ask for what you want and what you need, not ridiculously, but like, you know, like just sort of when they start force, I mean, we weren't in this situation so much because they didn't have the money to force calls all the time. But like, you know, I've been in situations where it's like they force the call like 5 days in a row and you're doing heavy, like long days with action and you're just wrecked. And then it becomes dangerous, right? Like you can hurt yourself.
For everyone and the crew as well. It's like, and forcing the call, just for people listening that probably don't know what that means. It basically means making the time between when you leave set and when you have to be back the next day shorter and shorter and shorter, which means you get less and less rest and prep time and things like that. And that stuff is really valuable, obviously, when you're making something.
So,
but I have to say, Emmanuel, like, thank you for doing this, with me. It's really meaningful for me to do this.
No, this is so fun.
And it's fun. Yeah. And you were such a fan favorite, obviously. I really appreciate you being here. And I'm glad I got to chat about this episode with you.
Likewise. And thank you for having me. This is fun.
Thank you, everybody, for listening today. We will see you on the next one. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast, which is produced by Anna Silk, Rachel Skarsten, and Seth Cooperman, with theme music by our very own Blood King, Rick Howland. Please rate, review, and share the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast. This enables us to grow and to continue bringing you exciting new content every week. If you don't already, follow us on Instagram and on our YouTube channel at Lost Girl Rewatch. You can also subscribe to Patreon for exclusive bonus episodes made just for you and get early access to all of our episodes. This is very serious. Okay.
Shit. Are you going to make me cry again?
No. I mean, maybe. Okay. You have to choose one of these two things and this is how you have to spend the rest of your life. Okay. So would you rather spend the rest of your life with a horse's body, but your head, or a horse's head, but your body? And why?
Rachel, this has Rachel written all over it.
100%. It's 100% Rachel.
That bitch. Okay. I was like, it's going to be like a horse or dog. It's a Sophie's choice between like my dogs and the horse. I'm like, I knew something with the animals. Okay. I would say my head and the horse's body, because then I'd be strong and powerful and do all the fun things like jump and like do all the stuff that I do on my horse, but like, you know, like have my head, like I can see what, like it'd be like cool because I could see everything that, and then I could still have my friends around me and they'd think I was weird, but we could talk. I could still communicate, see, because my horse communicates to me, but I wish she could talk. If she could talk, life would be a lot easier. Same with my dogs. So yeah. Ha, Rachel.
I love that answer. I also love, for everyone listening, should go and look at the YouTube part of this, because the actions of you being the horse jumping around, it gives you actually the full picture. It gives people the full picture.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.